Well, I would like to welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Work Track 5 call on the 30th of April, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. We have quite a few participants online today, so attendance will be taken via the Zoom room. So if you're only dialed in on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants, if you would please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. If you are dialed in on the phone bridge, you can mute your phone by pressing *6, and *6 will also unmute your phone. With this, I'll hand the meeting back over to Martin Sutton. Please begin.
Many thanks, Michelle, and welcome everybody. So we've got an hour's call ahead of us, and the agenda is in front of you on the screen. So we'll just run through the agenda quickly, and if anybody's got any statements of interest, updates, be ready to put your hand up soon. But what we'll be focusing on today is continuing a review of the public comments, and this is in the sections that are headed as proposals. And if you remember, these were suggestions from within the group, so they weren't preliminary recommendations, and rather than questions, they were more like proposals or suggestions put forward by members of WorkTrack 5. So what we want to do is to make sure that we understand and have allocated the right judgment or summary for those comments, and we'll continue through that. We've still got quite a lot of work to do, so we will be going at a reasonable pace to get through the chunk of work today, and then towards the end we'll cover any other business, which includes about how we propose to plan to cover the work over the next few meetings. Does anybody have anything else or questions about the agenda or anything to add that they would like to put forward now? I see no hands and hear no sound, so I'll carry on then. So statements of interest, so the standard administrative element here. Has anybody got any statements of interest, changes that they would like everybody to be aware of? I hear none, see no hands, so we will continue. So if we could move the screen to the worksheet, and if you prefer to look at the worksheet itself and manage that, you've got the link available in the chat, so please feel free to use that. We will be kicking off from where we left, which is on proposal 2, F1.2.5 worksheet and line 24. Do we need to swap the screens? Do we have to?
And this is Michelle again. In order to see if the other screen, we have Steve sharing a screen as well as Julie. If you go to the top part of your screen, you see view options with a drop-down arrow, and you can toggle between the agenda, which Julie has up, and the document, which Steve has up.
Okay, thank you. And so we can follow it on screen, or you've got the link to follow directly. The item we were discussing last time was regarding the development tool proposed for prospective applicants to indicate whether a string is eligible for delegation, whether there are issues that require further action in relation to geographic terms. So we've gone through already a mixture of the comments, and the last two comments that relate to this are diverging, one from Inter and one from a group of registry operators, where there's concern about the unnecessary requirement that this brings into play, and the cost elements make it possibly outweigh any value. So those are covered in divergence. So I think that those are fairly straightforward. So we'll move on to 2, on line 26, which is relating to GAP members, could assist applicants in identifying which governments and or public authorities could be applicable in cases where an applicant must obtain a letter of government support or non-objection. So I think I'm not going to read out all of these. You've had the document. You can go through in more detail if you haven't read it already, but we've tried to put these into the various assessment of agreement or divergence or concerns and new ideas. So those are the things I'll focus on. I'll group these together. So here we'll see in this list that there is a variety of governments and related organisations, and also ALAC, some geo registries, and the registrar stakeholder group, all support or in agreement with the suggestion here. So I don't think there's anything to add to those. You can read those directly. There is then a group of IPC, group of registries, the brand registry group, the business constituency, and the registry stakeholder group that are essentially in agreement, but qualify with the fact that if it's still needed, then agree that this would be helpful. So it's about whether or not there would still be requirements for letters of approval or non-objection. So again, you can read those comments specifically, but if anybody does have any suggestions that this doesn't quite fit the way we've allocated them, please do put your hand up and put forward your suggestion or concern. So following those that we've seen, standard agreement or a qualified agreement, we've then got a few which are highlighting concerns. So there's the US government online, where it's comment 15, line 41 in the spreadsheet. So this just highlights as to whether GAP members could assist applicants with identifying which governments and or public authorities would be applicable for those cases where an applicant would require a letter of support or non-objection. We believe this obligation of providing assistance should fall to the affected parties, i.e. the applicant and government at issue. So there's a concern raised there, and also inter... probably a similar one here. To the extent that there are obligations of consent, non-objection, INTA would support measures which assist potential applicants in identifying the point of contact. This seems unlikely to provide a solution to the difficulties previous applicants have encountered. It could only do so if all governments were under an obligation to make such contact information available, and if, in the absence of any response, they were deemed consent. So points of concern raised there. And I think that these will crop up again in further responses.
Mark, you have a hand up from
Christopher.
Christopher, please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. Martin, on this point, I just want to report that earlier today, can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Yeah, good. Good. Earlier today, we had a PDP conference call, and I cited this issue as one of the problems, basically undermining the objective and contradicting the objective of the PDP to make the process predictable. I don't attach great weight to many of the comments to which you have just referred, because frankly they are incumbents and potential applicants, and are arguing for their interest. If you go down this road, you will render hundreds of applications highly unpredictable
Christopher, sorry to interrupt, but just to make sure we're clear here, we're not dissecting all of the comments and putting an opinion forward as to whether we agree with those statements or not. And these are varied.
I'm not dissecting. I'm just drawing your attention to the consequences of these opinions, and they will result, as I mentioned this morning, in 100 mini Amazons. You cannot go down this road of not requiring public authorizations and require predictability. That is a contradiction in political terms. Thank you.
Right, okay, thanks, Christopher. If we could just make sure we're sticking to a process here so we can get through it at a reasonable pace, is have we read and understood the comments? Have we categorized them appropriately? Or do we need to change anything? Because then when we start to put this all together with all of the other comments that we've had for the preliminary recommendations, we will see then whether there needs to be any adjustments based on what some of the proposals that were put forward by team members in the initial report. So that's the focus today. If we could stick with that, we'll be able to carry through to hopefully complete the items on the list today.
Thank you, Martin. I will stick to that with reservations if necessary. Thank you.
Martin, you have 2 hands.
Okay, Caboose, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We have discussed that in different ways in today's, this morning sessions. I fully agree with Christopher. We have to mention the consequence of these sort of opinions. We should not be kept silent and so on and so forth. So I also join him in his reservation, Chairman. And we have to really be quite careful. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Paul?
Thank you. Paul McGrady here. I missed the first 2 or 3 minutes of the call because of an inbound surprise call. So I didn't get a chance to make people aware. I'm in the process of changing my statement of interest. I have left Winston and Strawn and joined Taft, Stettinius, and Hollister. It's a different law firm. Everything else pretty much stays the same in the statement of interest. Sorry to revert back on a housekeeping issue in the middle of an interesting discussion, but I didn't want the call to go further without making everyone aware. The statement of interest will reflect that as soon as I can figure out how to actually edit the darn thing. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul, and thanks for updating us there. Much appreciated. So on line 43, we move on to this was relating to if government support non-objection is required for an application, provide mediation services to assist if the applicant disagrees with the response received by a government or public authority. So within here, the first lot were mainly governments and related organisations which were in favour, directly in favour of such a suggestion. Then there were some agreements, but with some concerns raised by two, in particular registrar, stakeholder group in the US government. One was more focused on funding, how that would be covered for such a proposal, and the US government referenced as to, you know, who would be able to conduct such mediation effectively for this scenario. So those were flagged there. Then we've got some divergence. BRG we've flagged this as a new idea. So BRG recommends that in the event of continuing any requirements for letters of support and non-objection, that any rejections by the government local authority must provide their clearly articulated rationale, including the one, national or international law, and two, merits-based public policy reasons upon which it is based. I think which echoes some of the requirements that the board put to the GAC on previous case. And then this could help avoid the need for setting up a mediation service solely for this purpose. Caboose, is that an old hand or a new hand? Sorry, I've just...
No, this is a new hand. Can you give me, Martin, your argument, how you put the government and applicant at the same footing, that applicant object to the government? Who is the applicant that have such authority to object to the government representing tens of hundreds of millions of the people? Why you put them on the same level, at the same footing? Someone is speaking for himself or itself, have the right to have the same thing and object. So if the government has a requirement, that is a requirement. I have no problem you say that should provide rationale for the national or international law or any public policy and so on and so forth. But this is not the arguable that people are saying that, no, this has nothing to do with the public policy. Let me give you the case of that Amazon. When it was discussed, RIT mentioned that, no, this is not public policy. I don't understand that. The public policy is the authority of the government. It is the public policy. Why you put the applicant and the government at the same level? What is the argument? What is the rationale of that? Thank you.
So, in what the last one that I just read out, the Brown Registry Group comments. Is that one you're referring to, Caboose?
Yes, I disagree with that comment. Thank you.
So as I mentioned in response to Christopher's comment, everybody has their opinions, and we're not really going through that opinion-based element at this stage. It's whether we have classified as a team, whether it is something that we say is in agreement with the question that the work track team has put forward in the initial report, whether it is diverging from that or whether it is a concern or new idea. So as long as we've captured that information, that's what we're looking to achieve on these calls at the moment before we dissect as a group, whether or not we can open up this further discussions on these items that may sway our end results. So could influence the preliminary recommendations further or create new recommendations. So I'll repeat that again and again as we go through this if we have to, but it is delaying us getting through the rest of the process of just ensuring that we appreciate whether it's been categorised effectively or whether we question that. Thanks, Caboose. Christopher, your hand is up. Is it a comment as to whether it should be classified differently on any of these comments?
Look, Martin, the staff has done an excellent job. I don't think we need to spend any time on reclassifying or otherwise commenting on this. You're obliging us to spend a lot of valuable time on a non-question. Thank you.
So thank you, Christopher. I don't know if anybody else at the work track has got the same concerns, but we have gone through this and made some adjustments as we've gone through, where people have questioned whether it is correctly summarised and appropriately recorded for our records, which will be used, obviously, as part of the background information to any final report that we issue. So it is important that we get this accurate. We have made changes as we've gone through here. I am attempting to go through this at a reasonable pace by summarizing it, but allowing, obviously, you all as work track participants to read and digest all of this, and that's great. So I'm happy just to keep summarizing rather than go through all the individual comments. Caboose, is that a new hand?
Yes, I think you have to reflect the views. You could not say that you don't reflect the views. You have to reflect the views. Yes, we may be in the minority, but we have a legitimate argument that it should be reflected. It should reflect it in one way or other. Views were expressed, or some views are expressed, or some member they expressed the views, and we have to do that. We should not keep silence. Sorry. Thank you.
Has anybody else got anything to add, or can we carry on? Right, so where do we get to? So I think it's comment 9, line 52 in the spreadsheet. So we've got concerns that have come up with some of these from ALAC and pointing out potential issues with gaming and problems with endless disputes never being finalised. Business constituency concerns that mediation of with governments outside the jurisdiction would be complex and perhaps not effective. We have registry stakeholder group with a mixture of support and divergence. Divergence being since there is nothing to prevent willing parties to meet to mediate. So there's a concern raised on that. We have a mixture of governments here that reflect non-support for this particular proposal. So that Singapore, CITC, Portuguese government. We have GOTLDs here. We do support the proposal because of liability issues. I've probably got a question mark against here, and it seems to indicate divergence, although the original comment says we do support. Katrine, I don't know if you're on the call, whether it would be possible just to clarify that and confirm, because there's some sort of ambiguity in some of the responses there. Otherwise, we can pick that up.
There's a hand from Annabeth as well, or just left. And the hand from Caboose, I don't know if it's new or old.
Caboose, is that a new hand?
Annabeth as well.
I have lowered the hand, I don't know. Okay. Is it okay now?
Yeah,
I don't raise the hand.
I see it, but that's okay. And Annabeth also has her hand up.
Yeah, and this is Annabeth speaking here. I just wanted to point out what Catherine said, and that is part of this discussion, that what we try to do now is to find out if some of the comments from our working group members have been misrepresented. And Catherine's comment was just an example of that. And that's the most important thing now. And then we go back to the different opinions in the discussion later. So if we could just try to concentrate on that, that will give us the path forward. So it doesn't take too much time now before we can start that discussion. Thank you.
Thanks, Annabeth. So that one, we probably just need to get further clarification just to make sure. So if we move on, the next couple of comments are sort of doubts whether the mediation could be effective. I think Inter points out there's nothing preventing parties from engaging to do so in their own right if they wish to do so. And then similarly, NCSG has concerns that it's non-binding and therefore could be ineffective. And the registry stake or group of registry operators have no support for that as well. So those are how they've been categorized. And I think there's just the one there that we probably need to clarify further. Caboose, hand raised again. Please go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, I don't. I am not very used to this new system. Sometimes I made a mistake. What is hand raising? What is not? Now, is it okay now? No hand raising. It's lower. It's okay?
I'll look at it as if you're waving at me. Thanks, Caboose. So we'll move on. Question or proposal 4, line 63. Establish a program to heighten the awareness of governments and others regarding the GTLD program so that they will be more likely to seek or support a registration for the relevant geographic name. This could be accompanied by structured support and advice to maximise the opportunities for future applicants for geographic names. In this, there's, I think the first block, there's a whole list of in agreement, which is many government responses and GOTLD operators responding. And if we go down further, I think comment 11, line 71 on the spreadsheet, there's some a group of them with different qualifications here. So agreement, but the panel would need to be formed from, you know, a group of stakeholders to ensure balanced presentation and understanding. Others have suggested it should really be part of the overall outreach program rather than separated out. So those comments have been coming in from IPC, ALAC, Registry Stakeholder Group, US government is in agreement. Actually, Steve or Julie, I don't know whether we're trying to group these together. If we could move that agreement one up to the bunch above, I think that would be easier to view through. Thanks. And then the group of registries, similar qualification, part of outreach, rather than anything separate. There's some concerns raised, registrar, stakeholder group, not in support of ICANN facilitating. They believe that should be fully funded and covered by governments that want to cover that particular aspect. NCSG, emphasis on the government is certainly misplaced in this proposal. Moreover, despite the fact that ICANN delegated some of the earlier CCTLDs, ICANN's jurisdiction does not allow for some countries to apply for new GTLDs, especially if they are government entities. So there's some jurisdiction point raised, which is a bit different. So those are flagged as concerns. And then just the last few comments are, we've looked at this as a new idea from the BRG, which is this should be incorporated into the overall new GTLD communications and awareness program rather than a separate program. So I kind of think that moves up with a kind of an agreement with qualification. If others think that, we can, I think, group that there as well. So it seems to resonate with the other ideas that it should be, you know, overall combined effort for outreach and comms plans. And then the last two are diverging, which is Inter, who opposes the proposals because it's incomplete, needs to be fully thought out, and could be something that the GAP members can do themselves. Wider participation in the ICANN community, whereas Portuguese government doesn't support. No explanation there, which seems a bit odd, out on its limb, that one. Okay, I see no hands, so I'll move on. Proposal 5, in any circumstance where a letter of support and non-objection is required from a relevant government authority, establish a deadline by which the government must respond to the request. If no response is received, this could be taken then as non-objection. So we have some mixtures here. We've got some governments and related organisations, along with the Brand Registry Group and the business constituency, agree. So I think that's useful to go ahead with, similar to some of the other governments. there's some with qualifications, slight variances for IPC in agreement, but suggest that this could bring its own challenges. ALAC supports, provided that the applicant can show that the relevant government authority was given effective notice of the deadline and consequence of their not responding. So very much about, you know, making sure the process would work effectively and that there was a time for responses and that was adequate and that they knew that they were approaching the right people. We've got an agreement here from NCSG, so we might want to lift that up to the other bulk of agreed. Similar, oh no, we've got agreement and new idea here from, okay, sorry, I've missed one here, which was the group of registries, union registries, a qualified one as well. They link this to proposal two. So that kind of brings into force this getting to the right authority, the right contacts within that authority. So it's coupled essentially with that. Registrar stakeholder group supports, but also suggests that the time frame for governments to respond should not exceed 15 business days, which is quite interesting because I think a later one says 9 months from somewhere else. So another one with agreement and new ideas is from Inter, so they're in favour. But for example, it would seem appropriate that the relevant government authority should be notified at least twice and that the time to seek such approval is built into the timeline for an application. So some add-on suggestions that have come back included in some of these comments. If we move to comment 14, line 95 on the spreadsheet, agreement and concern. So
Martin, it's Annabeth here. Could I just refer you to a comment by Justine Chu to line 91?
Yeah, he has his hand up as well.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, please. Sorry, Justine, please go ahead.
Yes, hi, thanks. This is Justine. Hope you can hear me.
Loud and clear. Thank you.
Great. Justine, this is disagreement. Oh, okay. Sorry, I've just noticed that Steve has done what I requested, which is just in brief, in line 91, the ALAC comment, I just suggested that the proviso that's attached in the comment be marked as a new idea in blue. Thank you.
Thank you, Justine. Excellent. So that's gone ahead, unless anybody should have any other thoughts or ideas. Please.
Martin, I raised the hand. Do you see me?
No, your hand is down my screen, but please go ahead.
Now, is it okay now?
Now it's up.
Yes, I had difficulty with this tacit agreement. No reply means agreement. I have serious difficulty with that. This favored many government. They don't have staff to reply at the first applications. Non-reply should constitute disagreement. But in order to avoid any deadlock, then the intervention of the ICANN is required. And if they send a message saying that you have not replied to the request, and if you don't reply within X days, your non-reply would be considered as agreement. That I agree. But the first non-reply is not agreement. I have raised it in Marrakesh, and I have raised it in many other meetings. And ICANN is not the only organization of the world that dealing with this sort of the request for agreement. There are many, many other organizations. They have similar course of actions. For certain activities, they require the reply of a government or a party. And the first non-reply is disagreement. And then, in order not to have deadlock, they go to the ICANN staff or I can. And once they said or sent a message to the government that this is a 30 days deadline, if you don't reply, your non-reply means agreement. So I have mentioned two steps. Please kindly reflect that. This is very important. Many government, they miss this situation because they cannot, they don't have the staff, they don't have machinery to reply within 30 days or the 60 days or 15 days. I don't know what deadline you have put.
Yeah, well, they I think we come across some of those comments further on. So let's carry on through and we'll pick up some of those, I think, that were responded to. So thanks.
Okay. Now, please consider that update as safe. Thank you.
So, so I was on the comment 14, wasn't I? So agree that deadline could be applied, but note the challenges that always have been inherent in this requirement, i.e. trying to identify who speaks on behalf of the government or public authority at issue. This latter issue is one that should be addressed prior to any future rounds. So that kind of ties in again the proposal two, where it needs to be helpfully identified who should be referred to for these cases. Carrying on through, registry stakeholder group has a different slant. They've got a mixed of agreement and disagreement. Some are concerned there that, for example, by deliberately contacting a person who is not authorised to provide such a letter on behalf of the government or authority could lead to a problem of gaming. We have CITC. So this refers to, this time frame again. So we've heard 15 days from one, and then 9 months here from this one, which is, again, raising the issue of trying to find the right people, get the process done. Everybody has different speeds to be able to achieve that, depending on how they're set up. So all of those sort of comments have been acknowledged through the responses that we've received. And we go on through some similar comments from the GOTLDs regarding this issue of aiming the request to somebody that isn't authorised and could affect some gaming. And then Singapore does not support the proposal to impose a deadline at all. So that's captured there. Okay, I'll move on to the next one. Thanks for this. We're going through quite well. We've only just done a few adjustments. So on six, proposal, once a GTLD is delegated with an intended use that is geographic in nature, all other variations and translations of this term are unconditionally available for application by any entity or person. Objection procedures could potentially still apply. So here we've got some support from BRG, Registrar Stakeholder Group, Inter, US Government, NCSG. So that takes us down to about comment six, I think. So there's a group of registry operators agree, but do not agree with the use of the term unconditionally, which is misleading since all TLD applications are subject to conditions. So it's qualified, that one. Registry stakeholder group is agreement with some qualifications and some divergence as well. So they can see some can see merit in the proposal, and others believe that it could conflict with string similarity definition and do not support the proposal. What else have we got? The rest are more divergence, where there's some governments and other related organisations and some registry operators that disagree. So they don't support that. And I think what we've got, so that goes through also to business constituency. I think I've got a question on here. It's on comment 12, line 113. It says BC does not support the alternative favoured by the BC is reserve as unavailable translations in official and commonly used languages. I just wonder, is that something that we should flag as a new idea? Or links at least to the translations questions that we're yet to come on to. I don't know if anybody's got any thoughts on that.
There's a hand up from Christopher, a new hand up.
Thank you. Christopher, go ahead. I can't hear you, Christopher.
Okay, that yeah. might be better. The BP's BC position off the cuff, I would say that is the norm. And we should be discussing why it is that other interested parties deny that norm. Obviously, if a government, first of all, I've said this in writing before, a lot of our comments on the email have been ignored in the preparation of these documents, but if one language version is authorized, ipso facto, the other language versions will be subject to the same degree of authorization. Otherwise, you just fly in the face of political realities. I think it would be absurd to deny that. Thank you.
So moving on to the next week. So there's, again, I've grouped these earlier. There was governments and GOTLBs and also IPC and ALAC grouped in there as non-supportive of that. Item six, so we'll move on to item seven. So an applicant for a stream with a geo-meaning must provide notice to each relevant government or public authority that the applicant is applying for the string. The applicant is not required to obtain a letter of support or non-objection. This proposal relies on curative mechanisms to protect geographic names in contrast with support non-objection requirements that are preventative in nature. Each government or public authority is defined opportunity to object based on standards to be established. So the right to object expires after a set period of time. Objections are filed through one of the existing objection processes or a variation on an existing process. A set of standards would need to be established to determine what constitutes a relevant government or public authority. This proposal could apply to all or some of geographic names included in the 2012 guidebook. So with this one, there's quite a few concerns or qualified agreements. So I think we'll need to just check through these, make sure we understand these. So business constituency requires further clarification on this proposal, which is unclear. As currently written, it could become overly burdensome for an applicant depending on the specific term in question, the number of government entities that may be implicated. The BC supports this notification requirement, but only for geographic names that are among the specific categories of strings that are described by this PDP in preliminary recommendations 4-7. ALAC feels that this is measure could be appropriate for city names, GTLD applications only, except possibly in the case of very large cities, that they would see that treated differently. We have Inter with concerns and divergence, so don't believe that this is an unnecessary requirement, they state. So this proposal is not sufficiently thought out and on its face appears completely unworkable. Unrealistic for an applicant to know
all possible geographic uses of a term around the world in order to identify relevant public authorities, let alone who the contact person within them might be. The impact of inadvertently failing to contact one of them is not clear, especially given that this is not a requirement to obtain support or non-objection. Similarly, the US government has concerns and a divergence, so they disagree with this proposal, and they do not know what is meant by the relevant government authority, nor is there agreement within WorkTrack 5 or the larger community on what is meant by string with geographic meaning. We also question the basis for this proposal in the absence of a requirement of proposed use for purposes associated with the city name. A curative mechanism is preferable. Then there's a group of divergent ones which come in from a variety of governments and related organizations and geo TLD operators through to it also includes registrar stakeholder group. We've got an anomaly here, I think, Julie and Steve, which is the Brown Registry group. Have we tabled that? It's on comment 11. So it's just up a page there. So proposal unclear suggests that a mechanism would work like Trademark Clearinghouse to raise an alert. So it should only apply if intended use is geographic. So the proposal is unclear, they state, but it does quote underneath, the BRG does not support this proposal for any applications where intended use is not geographic. So I think we could add that into divergence. Thank you. Unless anybody's got any other comments, I'll carry on. So the remainder of this set, again, includes some governments, IPC, Registry Stakeholder Group, NCSG, another group of registry operators. There's divergence, so no support for that proposal for many of those. Okay. I've lost my participants list, got it back. Right, no hands. Well, carry on. So this is number 8. If an applicant applies for a string that is confusingly similar to a geographic term that requires a letter of government support or non-objection, the applicant should be required to obtain a letter of government support non-objection. As an example, a common misspelling of a geographic name would be considered confusingly similar. So I think, again, we see usual split here. We've got many of the governments and related organizations agree with this suggestion, along with geo TLD operators, ALAC. So then we come down to comment 11 on 150 on the spreadsheet, which is registry stakeholder group. Mixed opinion there within the registry stakeholder group. Some support, others don't. And then we have divergence and concern raised by US government, which is on comment 12. Additional clarity is needed as to who would be making the determination of likelihood of confusion between a proposed string and the geographic term. Also, any such determination would need to take into consideration the two strings as well as the applicant's proposed uses. So do not agree with the proposal required requirement of a letter of support non-objection for the latter applicant. Okay, so the rest of these also have disagree with the proposal. So that's registrar stakeholder group, IPC, Inter, BRG, BCNCSG, and the registry operations group. Okay, so I don't think there's any surprises there. Moving on to item 9, at the end of the registry contract period. I've lost the screen. Have we? Has anything happened to?
Lost the screen. The share screening. Well.
Yeah, all of us lost it.
I'm sure staff are.
Oh, we're back.
That's it.
There we go.
Excellent. Somebody almost unplugged us, but we're back. Don't worry, we've got back up. So moving through on to 9, at the end of the registry contract period, a government entity has the option of becoming engaged and can have provisions to the contract that specifies conditions rather than there being an assumption that the contract will be renewed. So I expect we'll be going through similar lists here. So some like it. Governments listed there early on, and then there's a listed divergence not in support, which includes GOTLDs, some governments, brand registry group, business constituency, registrar, stakeholder group, IPC, Inter, ALAC, Registry Stakeholder Group, NCSG, and the group of registries. So then there is some concerns flagged, I think, online. Comment 15, there's just one above. If we can just scroll back up one, I think. We've got this listed as divergent. I thought it had a concern on that one. Oh no, sorry, it's 15. I can see it now. Yeah, the U.S. governments. We do not support this proposal allowing a government entity to review and amend a GTLD registry agreement when it ends as a condition of renewal. This would create inherent government rights where they do not exist. Okay. Do we need to do you want to highlight any of that in yellow to reflect the concern that's been applied there? Thank you. Okay. Excellent. So the next one. So item 10, a TLD associated with geography should be incorporated within the jurisdiction of the relevant government and subject to local law. So here we've got a few in agreement, which so some support, others don't. So we've got governments and GOTLDs and ALAC. In support, and then we've got registry stakeholder group where there's some divergence. So some members support, others are opposed to proposal 10. So that's listed in there. Comment 7 is concern as well as divergence. So that's US government. So disagree with the proposal, and the concern is the nature and meaning of this proposal is far from clear, including what is meant by the relevant government. Similarly, the context for this proposal is unclear, so they don't feel comfortable with that one. Then there's the rest of these are divergent, so not in support, which includes some governments, BRG, the business constituency, registrar, stakeholder group, IPC, Inter, NCSG, Registry Ops Group, and then finally we have no comment, no position from some of the governments. So, okay, so we've gone through F125. Are we feeling as if we could do a few minutes more to get onto the next tab, and then we'll do AOB to wrap up in a couple of minutes? But I think we could... We could probably clear through this as well. So on 11, Delegate alpha 3 codes on the ISO 3166 standard as GTLDs with a requirement of government support non-objection until a future process is designed specifically for the delegation of 3 character codes. So we've got, we do support a proposed, so there's some in support from GOTLDs. ALAC strongly recommend, so it's, we've got a blue in here. So is that a new idea that we need to reference in the next column, in the summary column? ALAC strongly recommends that ICANN have in place a procedure to re-qualify applicants for any ISO 3166.
Yeah. Martin, you have a hand up from Christopher.
Hi, Christopher. Go ahead.
Hi, just a point on the jurisdiction point, which you just skipped over. I think historically I am at the origin of this proposal of, on jurisdiction. One of the objectives, of course, is to prevent what has come to be called portfolio registrations of TLDs. I mean, yeah, that's all I need to say. Okay. I'm totally opposed to the creation of portfolios of TLDs, especially if they're speculative. And the purpose of this jurisdiction proposal is to ensure that the TLD for a geographical name, whoever is the registry, is incorporated in the jurisdiction to which it attaches. That will make it much more difficult to have portfolio applications. Thank you.
Rightio. So we're coming up towards the hour, so I don't think we're going to cover anything further. The next few sections are fairly light in content, not in meaning, but in terms of, you know, amounts to read. So I would recommend that if you haven't gone through that so far, please take the opportunity to do that before our next meeting. And if there's anything to highlight as a change that you feel needs to be recorded in the comments or summaries, please flag that either at the next meeting or beforehand over email. That would be much appreciated. And now, obviously, this is taking quite a lot of time to go through just the process of clarifying what the comments are, how we've summarized them, and how we feel that they are, whether they're in agreement of some of the questions or proposals that were put forward in our report. So this is having a problem, into a knock-on impact of where we would hope to converge with the rest of the working group. So we'd like to propose from the leadership that we start to resume 90-minute calls so that we can get through the rest of this within the next two to three meetings. That is our suggestion going forward, is that we push for a 90-minute meetings for the next upcoming meetings. Does anybody have strong concerns about that or opinions that they would like to flag on the call? Christopher,
we have 1 hour and a half. Tonight we have 1 hour and 1 hour. I have objection with 90 minutes. Thank you.
I'm hoping we captured that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear all of it, but we'll go back through and capture that on the recording. Any other comments, Christopher?
Yes, thank you, Martin. Christopher Wilkinson again. I've struggled over this document for hours. May I say that I have reading glasses, and they are good for most purposes, but the font presented in this document is far too small. It is almost illegible. And the pale yellow and pale green texts are totally illegible. So I place a general reservation on my interpretation of this bloody document. But if the staff could at least republish it with a larger font and legible colours, we could perhaps make some progress more quickly. I also have an AOB point, but I will take that when the chair has...
So we're up on the hour, Christopher. So if it's a short AOB that can be covered, please go through very quickly so that we can...
It could be very quickly. This is about ISO 42.17, the three-letter currency codes. As I understand it, WorkTrack 5 has decided against my advice that this is out of scope for WorkTrack 5 and it should be referred to the PDP. This morning I raised the question in the PDP and was told that this was a matter of litigation in WorkTrack 5. If WorkTrack 5 does not wish to address ISO 42.17 and the three-letter currency codes, could the co-leads please write formally to Jeff Newman and Cheryl Langenaar to tell them thus and ask the PDP to address the question of the three-letter currency codes. Thank you.
If we can carry that comment over, we'll discuss it within the leadership group. But I think that's been covered repeatedly beforehand, but we'll just check. I wasn't able to attend the call this morning, so I'm not aware of what you're referring to, but we'll pick up on the recording. So thanks, everybody. In terms of your document, Christopher, I mean, these are designed so that you can read them locally on your own laptop, so you can play around with the font size, you know, just the screen size, so you don't have to change the font, just explode the spreadsheet to...
Well, as a matter of fact, I've been trying that for the past half hour, and none of the buttons on the Zoom screen respond.
Okay. Well, we'll see if there's anything we can do in Zoom, but I think you'd have to actually download the document. But we are, I'm afraid, out of time, so unable to do sort of system support at this stage. But I do appreciate everybody's input and following through on the work on WorkTrack 5, and look forward to our next meeting next week. If somebody could quickly remind us date, time, that would be really helpful. I haven't got it in front of me. Well, we'll just send it round anyway as a reminder straight after the meeting. All right, we're right out of time. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll close the call.
Thank you, Martin. Goodbye.
Thank you, Martin. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. This concludes today's meeting. Have a great rest of your day, everyone.
Thanks. And you too.